Hidely ho ho ho, neighborinos. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday. 102.5 The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your day here at the lunch hour. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the Game Nashville studios. And we are live at Santa Fe Cattle Company on Music Valley Drive, right next to the Opryland Hotel. Come by and see us. And as we said yesterday, closing out the show, we're just going to have fun today, not have a plan, so nothing's going to change.
There we go. All right.
What's up?
Like we usually do everything, but no, we're honored. Thank you, Chris and the gang, for having us out here.
Got your grid filled out
at Santa Fe today, so it'll be a fun show and a very festive atmosphere, a lot to be thankful for, and you guys being a big part of the show today. So come by and see us. We're here till 3 o'clock today. We'd like to say hi to you, and then if you got any presents for me and Chase, just drop them off at the front door. Gift cards preferred.
Yeah, we do like gift cards.
Gift cards are the best. Look, they show that you care, but you don't care too much.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
why you get the gift card.
There's some thought, but like, not really.
Yeah, that's
you know. But they're fine. They're good. Nothing can go wrong with a gift card. Dr. Crane, how are you?
Doing well. How are the both of you?
We're good, man.
I was a little thrown off there. I was kind of dialed in, but yeah, I'm doing
You're
well.
Always thrown off, and we love that about you. So that's okay.
Stay on your toes, ladies and gentlemen.
Head on a swivel, as Terry Crisp would say. Congratulations. Go out and look. I don't want to hear the Pro Bowl doesn't matter. It may not have the same oomph that it used to, but congratulations to Jeffrey Simmons and Chim DK for being named to the 2026 Pro Bowl roster.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean,
it's still a big accomplishment.
It's a big honor, and then it's a nice little party you get out in San Francisco before the Super Bowl. But is DK the first rookie since 2010? Mariani?
Yeah, probably.
That made the Pro Bowl? Well, yeah. I mean, been selected. Now, you have alternates, and then guys drop out, and then there'll be somebody that'll fill in for you. Like, Vince Young made the Pro Bowl in 06, and he was terrible because nobody wanted to play in the game.
Did they move it? They moved the Pro Bowl to it's Super Bowl week now, right?
Yeah.
Instead of the week the week in between?
I think it's like a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. I mean,
it definitely DK is the franchise's sixth rookie to be named to the Pro Bowl since the merger. The first returner since Mark Mariani in 2010. The others to do so. Can you name all the? I bet you can name every rookie for the franchise that's made the Pro Bowl.
Rookie Steve did not,
including Oilers,
including Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell's one.
Bruce Matthews.
Nope.
It's got to be playmakers.
The rest are Titans.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I can't.
Come on, man.
Who've made the Pro Bowl their
yes.
first year?
There's
first
one
year.
Very obvious one.
Chris Johnson.
That's one.
Vince made it.
Yep.
But he didn't deserve it. So, that's three.
Because Steve gave up his spot and Vince made it.
Who? All right. The rep.
Freak out.
Oh, Javon. Okay.
Yep. 99.
Yeah, so that's who made
I thought that'd be the first one you would say.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Made the Pro Bowl in their first year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's four. Who's the other two?
Oh, that was it's DK, Mariani, Earl Campbell, Javon Kearse, Vince Young, and Chris Johnson.
Pretty good company right there.
Yep.
Mariani had a hell of a year in 2010.
I remember he was like, that was the, you know, Fisher and Floyd. Well, I guess Mariani wasn't Floyd, but Fisher was always good about finding those diamonds in the rough. He was one of the best.
Well, there was a little conspiracy.
Yeah, sure. Theory. Well, I'm sure.
Because his son
Brandon
went to Montana, and he got asked about that. And Jeff's like, well, watch him play. Then make your decision at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That was it.
Look, I don't have any problem with that.
No.
I mean.
It's the seventh rounder.
Right.
It's like, all right, let's just, why not, right? I mean, because you're not going to find a Brock Purdy.
Was Mariani even a seventh rounder?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was remember. The last pick for that 2010 draft. Remember who went first in 2010?
2010. No.
Played at Georgia Tech.
Oh, Calvin? No.
No.
Georgia Tech.
Titans didn't want him.
I thought you meant overall.
No.
Derek Morgan.
Derek Morgan.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought you meant overall.
No, gosh. Sorry. I remember it went overall.
Now I'm curious.
Dominican Sue, maybe?
That might be right.
Quarterback for the Rams at the time.
Bradford?
Correct. Sam Bradford.
Was number one in 2010. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he was the last one to get the big contract.
That's right. And after that, everybody, because Cam went next year in 2011 and didn't get that big deal that Bradford and Matt Ryan got some massive deal when he got drafted by the Falcons in 08.
Yeah.
Huge. But anyway, congrats to the guy. I mean, that's a huge honor still, especially we had DK on the show earlier in training camp. So here, let this be known at Titans camp. You come on our show,
good things are going to happen.
It's Pro Bowl, all right? Now, we're not going to talk about the few that did not make the Pro Bowl that came on our show, but those guys will talk about you.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's so
that.
Funny to look at all these first-round picks. 2013, Eric Fisher. Yawn.
But is he with the Dolphins now?
Yes. And I love that, like, on the Wikipedia page, it gives Mr. Irrelevant also.
Was Suck Up that year?
No, Suck Up was probably, like, 09.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. So 2010 was Tim Tune, a wide receiver.
Tim Tune.
09 was Suck Up.
09 was Suck Up.
Yep.
I mean, look, you get drafted. You had an opportunity. Good for them. You know, Brock Purdy.
Purdy, yeah, I was about to say, Purdy's a Mr. Irrelevant.
Didn't the Titans have a Mr. Irrelevant 1 year?
I think so.
And I forget who it was. Dadgummit. Did the last pick in the draft.
Do you remember what year?
I do not. Right. I thought Fisher was here, but who knows?
Well, hang on, I can tell you.
2016?
Was it 2016? It sure was. It was Kalen Reed out of Southern Miss.
Nice. Forever, you're known as Mr. Love. That's a pretty cool title to have with you, forever.
Yep. So hang on. This is kind of cool. So there are one, two, three. There are three Mr. Irrelevants that have won the Super Bowl. And Ryan Suckup is one of them.
He was kicker for the Bucks.
Yep.
I don't know. I have no clue.
1994. I don't know when he won the Super Bowl, but this is when he was Mr. Irrelevant. Marty Moore was a linebacker out of Kentucky selected by the Patriots. And then 99, Jim Finn, a running back from the Bears, selected out of Penn.
Oh, nice.
So those are the
all
three.
Right. Yeah, you still get it. You get drafted and make the team. And who knows what could happen after that. So, well done, all that.
Jim Finn would have won with the Giants.
Jim Finn. Or maybe he knows Hasselbeck. Was it 07?
Yeah, probably.
Jim Finn.
Yeah, 2007. Yep.
He's like, Finn me.
And then Marty Moore would have won with the Patriots.
Okay. If I remember correctly, Marty Moore stuffed Emmitt Smith's brother in the Peach Bowl when he played at Clemson on, like, the goal line. If any of you Kentucky fans remember that, Marty Moore was a linebacker. He stuck Emmitt Smith's brother right on the goal line. Huge hit in 93 or 94, whatever that was.
615-737-1025. So our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Adam in Portland was asking, wasn't it the punter that hit the Jumbotron in Dallas? He wasn't drafted. That was A.J. Trapasso out of Ohio State.
That's right.
Was an undrafted guy because Hendrick was still the punter.
Had a back problem or something.
Yeah, and so they brought Trapasso in for the preseason, and he was the one. He's known for two things, running the fake punt for a touchdown in the Hall of Fame game.
Correct.
And then hitting the screen in Jerry's World.
And I think they wanted him during the season, but that's when they got Brett Kern.
Yes, because he had signed with the Jets.
Yep.
Trapasso, yeah, he was on a roster.
A.J. Trapasso.
And Kern had gotten released by the Broncos, and the rest is history.
The rest is history, yeah.
There you go. 615-737-1025. What's our question of the day?
All right, our question today is, what is your all-time favorite Christmas memory? It's our 19th annual Chase and Big Joe show, Christmas show. What's your all-time favorite Christmas memory? It could be a moment, it could be a present, it could be a trip, it could be something that happened. We want to know what your all-time favorite Christmas memory is when you look back. You know, as you get older, you lose a lot of people. You know, your grandparents are no longer here, your parents are no longer here, so a lot of memories come rushing back over the Christmas season. So today, we want to know what your favorite, we're going to have some positive, your favorite Christmas memory is today.
So mine would have been seventh grade. So I would have been 13. Yeah, I would have been 13. And I got a video camera and a new computer. And, like, they were both big surprises. Like, mom surprised me with the video camera. Dad surprised me with the computer. And that was, like, the best Christmas ever. Because that was, you know, I was into videos and editing and all that stuff. And so I was really surprised and excited. And that was also the same Christmas. Christmas night was the Cowboys and the Titans. And it was, like, zero.
So you were 13.
Yeah, and I couldn't go. My dad and uncle went. And we're going to take me, but I had been sick, and mom and dad were like, yeah, I don't want to get you sick, because it was like zero. So I was upset because it was the Cowboys.
So you missed Keith Bullock's pick six in that game.
And that was really the birth of Mr. Monday Night, wasn't it? Because that was a Monday Night game.
Yeah, Aikman was out of the concussion.
Yep, it was Quincy Carter.
Was terrible. They had no chance.
Yeah, and the Titans won that game pretty heavily.
Like 28-0, maybe?
Was it a shutout?
I could have sworn it was.
So that was 2000?
Yes, sir. Yep. If I remember correctly on that.
That was December 25th, 2000. It was 31-0, Tennessee.
31-0. It felt good because.
Do you remember who the coach of the Cowboys was?
Was that Campo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Campo. Our very own Derek Mason opened the scoring with a 17-yard pass from Steve McNair, Al Del Greco with the extra point. And then that was in the first quarter. No scoring until the third quarter after that. Eddie George with an 11-yard rush for a touch to put the Titans up 14-0. Henry Ford, a 30-yard defensive fumble return.
Holy
at the 11:35 mark of the third quarter, made it 21-0. Mr. Monday Night himself, Keith Bullock, with an 8-yard interception return, made it 28-0. And then Automatic Al added a 21-yard field goal at the end of the third quarter to make it 31-0. So it was 7-0 to start the second half, and they scored all those points in the third quarter.
I'm not sure if Dallas crossed the 50 that game. I mean, they were harassed the entire game. And then the Titans had the week off, and then the Ravens came in the next week and beat them in the first round.
Yep. Ed Hockley was the ref. That's pretty cool.
No longer with us?
No, he is.
Okay.
His son, Sean. But, I always loved Ed Hockley. Here you go. I can give you the Titans had 23 first downs. Dallas had 6.
Good Lord.
Rushing, let's see, 58 yards rushing. The Titans did 86 for Dallas. Steve was 20 of 33. 216. I think he had 2 picks in that game, actually.
Did he?
Yeah. He was not sacked. So time of possession, 34-34 for the Titans.
Ah, well done, Chase.
Yep.
Back there. Also, how about this? This question too as well. What's a good Christmas present for the Titans?
Can I answer that on the other side?
Absolutely. So 2 questions. Favorite Christmas memory? If you could buy the Titans a Christmas gift, what would you buy?
Okay. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And also, our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ArriesTactical.com. We're live at Santa Fe here on Music Valley Drive today. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 the game. The Jackson 5 bringing us back. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 the game. On this Tuesday, the 19th annual Chasing Big Joe Christmas show.
God, what a show. What a show.
We're excited. Terry Clark's supposed to join at, 2:10?
Okay, I didn't know this, right?
Well, you two had a thing way back when.
Bob Hope at 1:30, Andy Williams at 1:40. I mean, we got to, roll these people through today.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, how about that Chasing Big Joe show? Can I say something?
So you asked in our question what I would give the Titans for Christmas.
Yes. You buy them a Christmas present. What would you buy them?
Reuben Bain. That's who I would give them.
Okay.
The more I watch this guy and the more I read about this guy, the more I'm like, please, for the love of God, put him in two-tone blue.
Okay. That's a good one. I'm very petty. I would give I would send the organization a Mike Vrabel bobblehead just to sit there and look, right?
I would send – take the Mike Vrabel bobblehead but put a middle finger on it.
I mean, that's not – it's Christmas spirit, Chase. Do that in January. No, yeah. He's 12-3. The Titans are 3-12. Send a bobblehead over there for all that for to let her have that and see what happens.
But, I mean, Reuben Bain in his 3 years at Miami, he's got 18.5 sacks.
Not bad.
It's not bad. He gets to the quarterback. 42 total tackles this year. I mean.
Some have said, would you trade a high draft choice for Justin Jefferson?
I consider it. I mean, that's another thing they need. They need a playmaking receiver. And, I mean, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Is.
You'd consider it?
Is he what, 26? Yeah.
I'll drive up there and pick him up.
I don't know if I'd give number one overall for just him straight up, but.
You get a few of the things, yeah. But your number one ain't guaranteed to do anything, and Justin Jefferson is. Can you match him on this team?
Oh, my gosh. With Cam, I actually think that could be pretty good.
Yeah. Right?
You get a. Here's the other thing. I would love to see a scenario that, and it's going to be tough because I think they're probably going to pick like 4 or 5. You know, can you move? You know, if you're picking 4 or 5, you could probably get Bain. You could probably get Bain at 4 or 5 because I think that's probably where he's going to be. But you could trade back a few spots and maybe grab an extra second that you could then use to move back into the end of the first round, because I'd love to see a scenario where they could get Jeremiah Love. If they ended up – and I know people are like, well, you don't really need a running back, but, you know, if the receiver's not there and you could grab him, and, again, he's an offensive playmaker, to pair with Cam Ward, I think that would
be
a good
move. We just
debated
Tony Pollard yesterday.
I know, and Pollard's fine, but
I don't need a part-time player at 2. I need you to come in and play a lot.
He probably would.
A lot. I mean, yeah. Like, if you're – like
I know
Reuben
that's
Bain.
Not. I know Reuben Bain would be. I mean, yeah. You put him with Jeff, and you know maybe you get something out of Sweat there in the middle. But Adam in Portland wants to answer both our questions. Adam, what's up?
Yeah. So my best Christmas present ever, man. Like I grew up in the poorest state in the poorest city, and we were the poor kids. So you could like we didn't have a whole lot growing up. But my grandmother, man, she had a million grandkids, and she would start buying in January. And one year I got an accordion, like, but it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Like, she would always find a way to make everybody's Christmas, like, individualized and special. So I always go back to, it doesn't really matter your situation. Like, you know, I look on how she did it. So she set the standard as far as Christmas goes for me. As far as the Titans, man, I would buy them a Chad Brinker early retirement, honestly, because I think if we could find a way to get him out of the picture, maybe I could start trusting them again. But I feel like as long as he's there, I'm going to wonder what he's doing behind the scenes. So I would just find a way to make him not be a Titan.
Okay.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you guys, too, by the way. You and Nick.
Merry Christmas, Adam.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
It, buddy. Always appreciate you listening.
We still don't know what Brinker does, right? We still don't know if he has the final say. We
think we do. I don't know.
I don't think we do.
I think he probably just gets dry cleaning at this point. I don't know.
I mean, nobody. That's the problem. Again, nobody knows, and he'll probably try to take credit for DK and Cam and Io Manor and Gunnar Helm and those guys, the playmakers they picked in this draft. And if Jackson Slater could turn into something later on, plug in that guard position, man, you got some stuff happening.
615-737-1025. 0134 says a new owner for the Titans Christmas present. Steve in the borough says I'd buy the Titans a number one wide receiver for Christmas.
But give me someone established. Give me Justin Jefferson. Make
a
trade for
Justin Jefferson. Yeah. I mean, if Minnesota is kind of like, all right, we need to kind of rebuild. That's a great chip to trade to rebuild.
Yeah.
And the thing to consider is if they're like, we want a one, and the Titans give up the one. Now, again, is fifth overall straight up for Justin Jefferson a fair trade?
No, probably not.
I think something else needs to come back too. But that's your first round pick, and you've checked a box of a position of need. So
you're right.
Yeah, you miss out on some young players, but you're getting an established guy that's all automatically going to make your team better.
Yep.
With adding him to your team, I would do it. Yeah,
in a heartbeat. You got your number one guy. You're not these drafts. You're not guaranteed anything, man. So let these guys go out and do it and see what they can happen. You get a Justin Jefferson, make him work. Got your number one.
And there are quite a few edge rushers, you know, in the late first, second round. Steve says the edge from Texas Tech is a dog and would be a great fallback first round pick. I think his star is rising though, and he may go in the top six.
Is that the Rodriguez guy? Linebacker?
Yeah.
It's the thing. I need to know more about this Texas Tech football team because we spent very little time watching, talking about them, and they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, Jacob Rodriguez.
Jacob Rodriguez. He's a dog.
He's a dog. Lance in Clarksville, what you got?
I would give the Titans for Christmas a one-way ticket for Amy back to Houston, and she could never come back. She's still on, but she just couldn't have any contributions to the team and see what we could do.
That's a great one, but, you know, she is her father's daughter. She cannot stay out of her own way.
Oh, I know. He got rid of Bum. She got rid of Vrabel. I mean, the apple didn't fall very far from the tree. Can't fix stupid and arrogant.
You are correct, sir.
Thanks for the call. We'll ask Terry McCormick what he thinks coming up next. He will join us, Titan Insider. What would he get the Titans for Christmas? We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe live at Santa Fe on Music Valley Drive, 102.5 The Game. Didn't we already do this one? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Here on this Tuesday, this Festivus, some airing of grievances will happen later in the show. But right now, we say hello to Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. Terry joins us now. What's up, Terry?
Oh, not much. Just watch the Titans go through their little bit of their walkthrough as they get ready to practice today because of Christmas being on Thursday. They've kind of moved everything up a day, so we'll talk to Cam Ward after practice and then be in the locker room after that.
So I'll start with this. One of our questions we're asking is, what would you get the Titans for Christmas? And it can be a player. It can be, you know, we've had some jokes of a new owner and all that stuff. I said Reuben Bain out of the University of Miami. I'm very intrigued by him. The Titans obviously need pass rush help big time, and I think they could address that with where they're going to be picking, which is probably, you know, top five, top six, somewhere in there. But how would you answer that question?
I think it's I'm going to go with a kind of a philosophy. This team needs to get faster. They need to be faster at receivers. They need to be faster at running back. They need to be faster on defense. I think more team speed up and down the draft.
I think that's fair. Now, with that said, watching Tony Pollard over the course of the last few weeks, do you think he's played his way back onto this team next year?
I would think so. I mean, I thought he probably would be a cut candidate in the offseason, or actually before that, I thought he might have been a guy that they would move at the trade deadline. But to be honest with you, the way he's played the last 3 weeks, I see no reason not to keep him around.
Talking to Terry McCormick on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Terry, by the way, you are the very first guest on the 19th annual Chase and Big Joe Show annual Christmas show. So thank you.
Oh, well, thanks. Glad to do it.
Yeah, you're the first guest today, so that's a lot of honor, man. So you got to get things going with that. Let me ask you this. What team that's having success in 2025 can give the Titans hope? Is it the Panthers for what they've been doing, or is it another team? Because I think the Panthers are what the Titans were 2 years ago.
I would agree with that. I think the Panthers are probably in that boat. If you want to really take a big step and say maybe it's the Bears, because, you know, the Bears are a team that have been down for several years. Then all of a sudden they draft Caleb Williams and they don't make that big jump in year one, but then they make a big jump with the coaching hire and the development of Caleb Williams in year two. I think more realistically, it's the Panthers. But if you really want to, you know, set your sights high and say, can you be this? It might be the Bears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly right. You talk about it. A new coach came in. You know, everybody put Caleb Williams down like he's not going to be any good and all this other stuff. And then you see what he's doing. Plus, they got a safety on that team, Terry, named Kevin Byard, who was pretty washed up here in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how guys find new life once they get a change of scenery. Or, you know, I was just remarking out there to some of the other reporters, how many former Titans were in that New England and Baltimore game on Sunday Night Football? I mean, right. There was Derrick Henry and D-Hop on the Ravens, and then Mike Vrabel's just got a whole posse of former Titans on his coaching staff and on his roster.
Yeah, oh, it's crazy. Hey, real quick, what was the rub that Rand Carthon didn't like Byard? Because he felt he made too much money?
I think that was it. I think he felt like Byard was – I think it was $19 million that he was making. He felt like that was way too much for any safety to be making. Well, that probably, you know, that might have been correct technically, but I think he underestimated what Byard meant to this organization and meant to this franchise. You think about it. Byard was really the spokesperson for this team throughout most of the Mike Vrabel run.
Right.
You know, he was the guy that everybody went to in the locker room. He was very good with the media. He would tell it like it is. And really, until Jeffrey Simmons started to grasp that concept and that role as this season has gone along, they really didn't have anybody to fill that.
Terry McCormick is with us. TitanInsider.com as they get ready for their game this weekend. I mean, look, I know people are a little upset that, okay, they won. They've, you know, won two out of their last three, and they're playing a lot better. That means no first overall pick. But, I mean, Terry, I look at this, as, especially with some of the guys you just named, including Cam Ward, how important it is to finish the year on a strong note and kind of have some confidence when they get ready for the new coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much carryover there will be because there is going to be a coaching change and, you know, a lot of this roster won't be back next year, but it is important for the young guys. These guys are still under contract, you know, for multiple years. These guys are in their first or second year. Not only Cam Ward, Jim Dike, and, you know, Gunnar Helm and the rest of the rookie class, but you've got to look at young guys like Cedric Gray and James Williams and J.C. Latham, some of these guys that, you know, are completing year two, and you figure, you know, it's important for those guys to start stacking some wins together too, because this team hasn't done a lot of winning in the last three or four years.
What do you think this does for Mike McCoy? I mean, I don't believe he's going to – he might get an interview out of courtesy, but he's not getting this job. But what do you think it does for his career that either they look at, okay, he could be an offensive analyst here or get another job somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to them granting him a courtesy interview if he wants to do that here. But I do think that, you know, the fan base would probably revolt if McCoy was to hire here, you know, for the full-time job. Now, that said, you know, they opted to keep Mike Mularkey on an interim basis, and that actually worked out pretty good. But I do think for Mike McCoy's situation, I think with this team responding a little bit better to him and the way that they've played over the last two or three weeks, I think it's a situation where, you know, he's going to look better as a guy maybe that some team would want to bring on as an OC, as a quarterback's coach, as something like that to help develop maybe a young quarterback in their own right.
All right, Terry McCormick going with the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, they got two games left. The Saints, who might be the hottest team in football, coming into town this week, and next week the Jaguars. Do you see any – look, there's nothing to play for. I understand all that. But any change in the game plan, any more trick plays, any more – all that nonsense, which you do towards the end of the season? Or are they just going to stick to their plan, which they've done the last 4 or 5 weeks, run the football, throw the ball down the field, and see what happens?
Yeah, I think they probably will stick with it. You know, let's hope they don't try that jet sweep down on the goal line again. We've seen enough of that. But I think they probably stay pretty straightforward and try to, you know, get the most that they can out of what they've got. You know, you might see a situation where they'll – go for a fourth and two instead of punt, you know, in a certain situation where maybe if it's a tight, you know, if it's a, if they were in a situation where they could potentially make the playoffs or something, maybe you punt in that situation. But it's like, go for it. Let's, what do we got to lose?
Terry, let me ask you this. I don't know if you could, if you recall this top of your head, but Cam Ward's taken every snap this year, right?
I believe he has, yes.
Yeah. When's the last time a Titans quarterback took, and I'm probably jinxing him now, sorry, Cam, a Titans quarterback took every snap the entire season?
Wow. Tannehill might have. I don't know. You know, when he had that run when he first got here, maybe in 2020,
I think he might have taken most every snap.
But I do remember this. I wrote that he had broken Steve McNair's Titans record for consecutive starts when he made his 49th straight start. And that's the first time he got the ankle rolled up on and messed up, and he was never the same after that. So
you blame you for that.
Yeah, you can blame me for that one. So I'm not going to jinx Cam Ward in that way. He's got two games to make it to the finish line.
So you think Tannehill, the 20 season, could, because
he,
I can't
he
recall.
He played in 16 of 16 games.
Is anybody else listed as with a passive if you've got it in front of you?
That's what I'm looking at right now. Give me just a second.
Because you know it wasn't McNair.
Every snap is pretty impressive because, you know, a lot of times in games that are blowouts, you'll pull the starter and just let the backup mop it up or whatever, or, you know, that sort of thing, or even just take a knee or whatever.
Right.
Logan Woodside appeared. He was 3 of 1 for 7 yards.
3 of 1?
Yep.
One of three, sorry.
He's a triplet.
He's him.
You know, as soon as I read that, I was like, wait, that's not right. Yeah.
And the 20 season he had? Yeah. Okay.
And then Adam Humphreys.
Well, he was a receiver.
Yeah, but
that would have been a trick play probably.
Yeah, he tried it. And Kern attempted a pass too, I guess, on a fake punt.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So it's been quite a while then since the same quarterback has taken every single snap.
That's like a Manning or a Brett Favre stat, right? I mean, didn't Manning refuse to come out of games and they were either getting blown out or way up? He never came out.
Right. I mean, you know, that's one of the things, you know, those guys don't want to give up snaps very easily. No, they don't. Sure.
Hey, we were talking earlier about Jackson Slater. You know, the draft class was good with Cam and Jim DK and Iu Manor and Gunnar Helm. How's Jackson Slater, the fifth-round guy out of Sacramento State, you know, the guy that loves to block people? I've heard nothing about him this season.
Yeah, it's because they haven't really used him except on special teams. I think he runs out there when they're attempting a field goal or an extra point, and that's about it. You know, to my way of thinking, you know, I'd like to see what he can do and see if, you know, what he looks like going forward. Because, I mean, you know, a guy like Kevin Zeitler's not coming back. Why not give him some snaps and see what he looks like?
Oh, I totally agree with that. And see, you know, you got two games left to do this. And so we'll see. You know, it'd be funny, though, next week, Terry, if the Titans, they go play the Jaguars, if they knock them out of some seating or some position next week would be just the icing on the cake for this season.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, you know, I guess a statement game as much as this team can make a statement game with 3 wins right now. But, yeah, that's, you know, it. You know, we've seen stranger things happen when the Titans and Jags get together, so who knows.
Terry, appreciate it. A Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, Merry Christmas to you guys and yours, too. Thanks.
Terry McCormick from Titan Insider joining us on the program. We'll have more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe live at Santa Fe on Music Valley Drive here on 102.5 The Game. The good old boy from Tupelo that later called Memphis home.
Man, let me tell you about this song. When we recorded this song in 71, it was Joe came to me and said, "Hey, man, I got a Christmas song for you." I said, "Man, you know, I don't know, because it's the next thing I recorded the song, it was a top 10 hit for us."
It was good. Actually, 1957 is when this came out.
Good Lord, really?
Mm-hmm.
He was 22 years old.
Well, he hit it big. There's a great documentary called Elvis 56, and that's when he was 21 years old. He went on Ed Sullivan and, you know, got the Elvis the Pelvis. He got arrested for indecency and all that stuff.
Right.
And that's really when he took off. But I think my favorite thing about Elvis songs is the Jordanaires. as the background singers. They're just awesome.
Yeah, pretty good.
There's a great recording of Burn in Love.
Lord Almighty.
That includes the who is it? It's an orchestra. And it's just so cool with the it's the Royal Philharmonic. And like they did the record, like they re-recorded it with it, and it's really cool. So that's a good one. 615-737-1025. We're at Santa Fe here on Music Valley Drive today. Dr. Crane back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's go back to the phones. Doug wants to weigh in. Doug, what's up?
Hey, first of all, Merry Christmas to you guys. If I don't get a chance to tell you, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Doug.
Okay, and I'm too late to look, so I know there's people thinking tank for first place draft, but and everybody's kind of saying they've wiggled their way to third or fourth. But can you guys look at the schedule of the teams that are probably first? Is there a way for the Titans to, I guess, lose and other teams to win that will vault the Titans back into the first round draft pick?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but like they have three wins. The Jets have three wins, and the Jets win the tiebreaker. I think Cleveland would win a tiebreaker.
Cardinals have three wins.
Raiders have two wins. Giants have two wins. And then, yeah, the Cardinals have three. So, I mean, right now they would basically need to lose out and everybody else win out.
But can you guarantee me with that number one pick, you'll get a guy who gets in here and can be a game changer? I mean, you don't. You can get that same guy first, second, third, fourth, or fifth. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whoever it is, though, Doug, has to come in and contribute immediately.
Well, I think a lot of people, and Doug, I don't know your thoughts on this, I think a lot of people want him to get the number one overall pick so they can trade it.
It sounds like a business move to me. That's the reason why I say, you know, I'm not saying tank because this team is feeling better with a win. They need to go into the offseason with wins. But in the business sense and the business thinking, if you get the number one pick, how do you manage it in the best interest of what makes everything better for the team going forward?
That's a fair point. Thank you for the call, Doug. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Doug. The top story on ESPN.com, sources, NBA looking into new ways to prevent teams from tanking.
I mean, that's – look, teams don't need to tank. The latest mock draft from CBS Sports has the Giants getting the number one overall pick but trading it with Cleveland. Cleveland then selects Dante Moore, quarterback out of Oregon. I don't know about that. The Raiders at number two select Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana. The Giants had moved back to three, take Carnell Tate out of Ohio State. The Jets at four take Caleb Downs, safety out of Ohio State.
The list was done when they said the Browns were taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
They're not taking a quarterback.
I don't think so. And at number five, three straight Ohio State picks, the Titans select Arvell Reese, linebacker from the Ohio State.
I don't think they'll take a linebacker. I think they're after a edge rusher or a playmaker.
Well, it says this. Arvell Reese has played linebacker, but is best rushing the passer.
Okay.
So he's a pass rusher. And then Reuben Bain goes two picks later to Washington.
Oh, after watching Reuben Bain versus A&M and most of the games this season, I mean, that guy.
If you're picking fifth, take him.
Yeah.
Take him. So-called experts might say, oh, that's a little bit of a – no, take him.
Well, I was never sold on Abdul Carter. We talked about that. Yeah, I was never sold on him. I'm like, you know, because we got drunk on Curse in 1999. Like, that's the guy, you know. Who is comparable to Javon Curse coming out in this draft? Reuben Bain, to me, is.
What are your – I don't know how much you have watched him, but Jordan Tyson, he's the wide receiver from Arizona State.
Pretty good.
He's projected top 10, top seven.
Who's the receiver for Carolina that played Arizona last year? We never heard about him. I forget his name. He's killing it in the league. Dr. Crane, you know who that guy is.
Tet McMillan?
Buddy. Killing it, man.
Now, this is at pick 12. They have the Chiefs taking Jeremiah Love, which they need running back. That would be that would be dangerous. Kendrick Falk, 13th to the Cowboys, the edge rusher out of Auburn.
Yeah. Who do we have on the show from SEC Media Days from Auburn? Is that him?
It might have been, yeah. It might have been.
Because he was gigantic. And not only that, he was so nice.
Yeah.
This guy is a gentle giant.
A lot of wide receivers. I mean, that, and that
That's
generally
the game,
happens.
Brother.
Yeah. I mean, you got Denzel Boston from Washington going 14th overall to Baltimore, which is an interesting one.
Pass on Washington running backs because of Bishop Sankey.
Well, he's a wide receiver.
Oh, so. Okay. Maybe I should pay attention. Maybe I should pay attention
I mean,
to the show.
If you want to. I mean, it doesn't matter. Mekhi Lemon, the wide receiver from USC, going pick 20 to Pittsburgh.
Now, Pittsburgh needs a quarterback, not a receiver.
Yeah, they do. I'll tell you who I like is the Concepcion kid out of A&M. I think he's a later first-round pick, but at receiver,
he's pretty
good.
There's a lot of good talent. Because that 7-on-7 world now is dominating sports, which I hate. But a lot of these receivers now, it's become a game of throwing the football down the field. Football's cyclical, man. It'll go back to power running. Some team will come back with a power runner and a big offensive line, and that'll switch the game back again. It changes every 4 to 6 years.
Pick 28 to the Rams, Colton Hood, cornerback out of Tennessee. He's had a good year. He's been good. So, yeah, none of these matter right now.
They don't. And that's the whole stupid, Tank got to lose. If you can guarantee me that the number one pick's going to come in here and make the Hall of Fame, then I'll be then Tank.
If they have a top five pick, they're fine.
Yeah, right?
And whether you – like, if the guy you want is there, then you take him, and if not, you trade back.
Your number one pick has to start immediately. Has to. There's no more waiting around anymore. Your second rounder probably has to start immediately too. Third rounder, yes. And after that, develop guys. But those three should start immediately on your football team.
The only reason – like, we had a text where it was like, the Titans don't need the number one pick. The only reason I wanted them to have it is to trade out of it.
Yeah.
And get more draft capital. Because this team has, what, three picks in the top 100 right now?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they need more than that. So, I mean, if you can – even at five, you know, if you've identified – I keep using Reuben Bain, but either Tyson or Bain, which is a receiver and an edge rusher, two positions you desperately need. If you've identified that those two guys could be there at seven, then move back to seven if you can and add – you know, because the big thing to me would be moving back in the top 10 to, like, late top 10 and then using some of that to move back into the end of the first round if there's somebody there that you want.
If you can get four of the top 100.
Yeah, you're good.
That's great. I'll take that all day long.
Yeah.
But then those four got to play immediately, right?
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe live at Santa Fe on Music Valley Drive, 102.5 The Game.